Each story, of course, is different, but in many cases, these women were hugely resilient in the face of setbacks. And rather than letting that obstacle in the road make them turn back, it made them think about ways to do it differently, to get around the obstacle or to be better the next time after they screwed up the last time. But they also, in many cases, had powerful people who believed in them.
How important is that to find a mentor, and how frequently is it a man and not a woman?
Well, it's important to have not just mentors, but also to have sponsors. The mentor is somebody who's going to give you informal advice. The sponsor is someone who's willing to put their personal reputation on the line and be your advocate. In many cases, if you're a woman who's trying to get ahead, whether it's in a federal agency or a major corporation, the people who are in positions of power are going to be men.
Now, you tackle a lot of different chronic problems that women still face at work. You frame them with stories of successful leaders who have been there. You mention men. One of them is dealing with jerk bosses, many of them men. That's a basic...
There are jerk bosses who are women, too.
I've had them.
But it is a basic skill to try to deal with the jerk boss. What was your advice here? What did you learn from all that?
Well, several of these women actually kept notes. In one case, she put together a little notebook where the guy she was working for was such a jerk. I mean, one thing, he hoarded information. He never let anybody know anything. And she, at this point, was not a boss, but said, maybe if I keep little pointers about how to be a good boss based on all the bad boss stuff I've seen, I will be a better boss. And she did. A woman named Jerry Laybourne became the head of Nickelodeon.
You know, it's so interesting as a woman in the workplace. You write this, and many women have experienced that it's really difficult to ask for money. It's really hard for women to go for what they're worth. And sometimes when they finally get up the courage to do that, they feel either judged or maybe retaliated against. How do women deal with this, the ones you spoke with?
And in fact, there's been a survey by a website, and they asked on average, how much more money do you ask for when you're looking for another job? And the gap between how much more money the men asked for and the women was, if I recall, something in the tune of $11,000.
Wow.
And so when we talk about this gender pay gap, which still yawns wide, in fact, one Washington think tank has said the gender pay gap for women will not close until quite a ways into the current century, decades from now. How much of that is due to the fact that women are not good negotiators or are afraid of being seen as the B word if they are too much of their own advocates? So I talk about this a lot in the book. And one of the ways I suggest that women be better advocates when it comes to getting pay is using what I call the velvet glove, which is the idea that you go into a negotiating session with a fist that is filled with information, knowledge. You've done your homework about what this job is worth, what other people are getting paid, what you are worth. But the velvet is, you also understand where that person's coming from who's negotiating.
Which fields are the hardest on women?
Which fields are not the hardest on women?
Okay.
But I think certainly based on the women I interviewed for the book, technology still remains a really difficult one. And again, in the news recently, Google's been investigated by the federal government because of pay disparities for its female employees. And several of the women I interviewed have been CEOs of major tech companies and dealt with these issues and say they haven't changed today. I've done talks about the book where women in their late 40s say, the issues you talk about were real for me, and now my 20-something daughter has gone into tech and it hasn't changed. Why is that?
So, Joanne, you've had a rather storied career that began not too recently. So some of the stuff we deal with today was magnified when you began. What is it from your experiences, from the women you've spoken to, you would like other women to get from your book?
I think at the end of the day, the thing I would like women to get from the book is the importance of having a sponsor who is not someone else, and that sponsor is you. You've got to believe in yourself, and you got to get past what I call, and other people have studied much more extensively than me, the imposter syndrome, that little voice that every one of us, men and women alike, has in our head that says, you don't belong in that meeting. You're not qualified to do that job. You really shouldn't have gotten that pay raise because you're really not very good at what you do. And you got to have that voice that is on the other side of your head and says, You have demonstrated that you're good at what you do, and you're going to get even better in the future. So the thing I hope many men and women alike take from this book is the importance not only of having people be your sponsors and your boosters, but of believing in your own abilities.
Wise words. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Joanne Lublin. Her book is Earning It, Hard-Won Lessons from Trailblazing Women at the Top of the Business World.